Your Bibles, please, for our second reading to the last chapter of the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 1, hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. While the sun, or the light, or the moon, or the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain. In the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble, and the strong men shall bow themselves, and the grinders cease because they are few, and those that look out of the windows be darkened, and the doors shall be shut in the streets, when the sound of the grinding is low, and he shall rise up at the voice of the bird, and all the daughters of music shall be brought low. Also when they shall be afraid of that which is high, and fears shall be in the way, and the almond tree shall flourish, and the grasshopper shall be a burden, and desire shall fail, because man goeth to his long home, and the mourners go about the streets. Or ever the silver cord be loosed, or the golden bowl be broken, or the pitcher be broken at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern, then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. Then shall the dust, vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, all is vanity. And moreover, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge. Yea, he gave good heed and sought out and set in order many proverbs. The preacher sought to find out acceptable words, and that which was written was upright, even words of truth. The words of the wise are as goads and as nails fastened by the masters of assemblies, which are given from one shepherd. And further by these, my son, be admonished. Of the making many books there is no end, and much study is a weariness of the flesh. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. What a fitting end to the book. So Solomon, in the first section, I had that as verses 1 through 10. Hold on just a second. Sorry, verses 1 through 7. I have that then as him continuing on, but in a very picturesque and poetic way, with what we have from chapter 11. Remember what the theme of chapter 11 was. It was make the most of the opportunities that you have while you have them, whether that be in labor, whether it be in faithfulness, and so on. And then he had a word to the youth, and he told them to do what? To make sure that they didn't misspend their youth. There's a strange chuckle that often takes place when folks that have some age sit around and they say, well, you know, in my misspent youth, and everybody goes, right? Solomon is counseling us not to have a misspent youth. That's his point. If you are young, understand the opportunities that you have today. And don't turn away from them. And don't put yourself in a position where At the end of your life, you'll be saying, well, in the days of my misspent youth. Don't put yourself in that position. Faithfulness begins now. Today is the day. This is that urgency that Solomon was pointing to in the last chapter and how he begins this chapter. And so notice what he says, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. When your opportunities are large and vast. When your opportunities are greater than what they will be. Now that's not to say for us old folks, I consider myself that way, I guess, that we have no opportunities. That's not true. I remember the Rye title from Jay Adams. He wrote a book a few years back called Wrinkled But Not Ruined. That's kind of a wry title, but it's helpful. We understand that although we are aged and may not have the same energy and strength that we had, 30 or 40 years ago, that there is still something to give. We can also say with Solomon, remember thy creator in the days of thy age. That's also a proper thing to be said. But Solomon is pointing to something else here. He's pointing to his son, right? He's been talking throughout to his son, and here, remember now thy creator in the days of thy youth. And children, I want you to understand something from one who is either a father or a grandfather to some of you, and also to all of you by affection. I want you to understand something here. That I don't want you to grow up and be as faithful as I am. I want you to grow up and be more faithful. I want you to grow up and surpass what I have done. And I think that all of us would say the same who have some age on us. We desire that you will grow up and you will advance the Reformation in this country, in our churches. That you will advance piety before the people of God. That it won't be, well, at least I conserved what my fathers did. I hope that you'll do more. Because I will tell you that there's much more that can be done. The reason Solomon says, remember now thy creator in the days of thy youth, is because Solomon also desires that those who come behind him would press that ball forward, would move it down the road farther toward the celestial city. This is not a responsibility that Pastor Riddell puts on you. This is indeed all our duty from the Lord. We must indeed do beyond. We must take the advantages that our parents have bequeathed to us. And this is, remember how we've talked about inheritances in the past with regard to having a legal heir and the preservation of knowledge and the preservation of godliness and the preservation of piety and moving it on. You don't have to rebuild, in other words. You can take it farther. All right, so remember thy creator in the days of thy youth while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them, while the sun or the light or the moon, the stars not be not darkened, and the clouds return after the rain. Of course, he's using the same metaphor that he used in the last chapter, and that is that our lives come and to the nearness of their close, when those opportunities are drawn back. And then he's going to use a beautiful, beautiful picture of a house that is falling down. But it's a metaphor for your bodies. It's fascinating. Listen to what he says. He says, the keepers of the house tremble. That is, the arms and the hands. They begin to tremble instead of the strength that they once had. The strong men bow themselves, the legs, normally the pillars of the house, right? Now the pillars are bowed. They're bowing instead of strong. The grinders cease because they are few. The teeth, right? Remember that they didn't have the same kind of, you call up a phone, you lay down a few dollars, and boom, you get a whole new rack of teeth. They didn't have that in those days. The grinders cease because they are few. Third or fourth, those that look out the window be darkened, an obvious metaphor for the eyes. And the doors shall be shut in the street, and the sound of the grinding is low. The ears, that is, they no longer function as they once did. And the outside world is shut out, right? Because those doors have been shut. The rising up at the voice of a bird speaks of restlessness and disquietude that often accompanies old age. The daughters of music brought low, most probably the tones of the voice, no longer strong, low, whispered and weak instead. And this weakened estate produces fear, anxiety from the heights and in the way. In other words, from the top to the bottom. Note that the appetite is no longer enjoyed. Nothing formerly that formerly pleased does now. Mankind is heading to his long home, as it writes here in the English. Literally, mankind is heading to his house of eternity. And so verse 6 then has that same message. The silver cord is loose, the cord of life. The golden bowl is broken, the light of life, feeding oil to the candle. And the pitcher at the fountain be broken, perhaps speaking of the circulation or the respiration. And then the wheel is broken at the cistern. When death takes hold then, there's that broken wheel and there is only dust. And that is when man's body returns to dust and the spirit returns to the Lord who gave it. It's a wonderful, rich metaphor which speaks of the life of someone as a house that one might see as you pass from day to day, that it's gone from its days of being inhabited into the days of its demise. Right? And let us remember that that's a date that we will all keep. It's a date that we will all keep. Being reminded then that that is a date that we will all keep, what are we encouraged to do? To labor while it is day. To labor while it is day. Our earthly lives and their attendant opportunities will come to an end, so redeem the time. Second, when the days of usefulness of this earthly house, as the apostle puts it in 2 Corinthians 5, comes to an end, let us remember that there is another component of our being that remains. We have an inner man. As Solomon teaches us here, that continues on. And he teaches us that while the only mode of existence we have ever known is one in which our bodies and souls are together, that we are heading to a place where they will be suddenly and unnaturally torn apart. And so we must think about where our souls will go at that day. We must not rest in ceremony. We must not rest in outward conformity because we have an inner man. All right, so then in verse 8, vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, all is vanity. Is that familiar? Well, that's 1:1, isn't it? And so he returns to where he began, except this time he has an answer. He has spent these 12 chapters coming up with this answer. It's a very simple answer. Some might even say it's anticlimactic. Here is the sum of the matter. Are you ready? Okay, don't blink because you'll miss it. Fear God. Keep His commandments. Live above the sun. Remember that there is a heaven above. Remember that there is a God above. And He has condescended to give us His grace and His mercy. And in so doing, He's given us His commandments. This is the whole duty of man. Otherwise, all you have is vanity. That's it. So very quick. Solomon, why didn't you just end chapter 1 with that? Well, because then we would have missed out on these wonderful, wonderful chapters and this great metaphor at the end and everything that comes in between. Fear God. Keep His commandments. How simple and upright is the conclusion. Fear God and keep His commandments. Let's stand and continue praising God.